Hi, I'm Mike DiNapoli, Regional Lead of Sales Architecture for the Americas for Vision Solutions. Today we're going to walk through a demonstration of full server migration for Linux between two cloud platforms, from Amazon Web Services to Microsoft Azure. We'll start with a quick overview of DoubleTick technology on Linux, then have a look at the operating environment, and finally show you DoubleTick Move for Linux in action. DoubleTick Move for Linux is the combination of a real-time replication platform with a cutover engine designed to allow all system settings, packages, and files to be brought from a live production system onto a migration target. During the migration of packages and data, the original production machine remains in use and servicing end users and middleware servers. The only downtime required is for the final cutover, at which point the original server is taken offline and the new server is brought online. The total cutover time is about 20 minutes across a WAN on average, though there are strategies to minimize that time. In today's demonstration, the production system is housed in an Amazon Web Services virtual machine instance running within a VPC. The target system is a Microsoft Azure virtual machine instance. Both are configured with CentOS 6.7 using the provided images from each cloud provider. They've been assigned with internal and external IP addresses. We've also set up a Cohesive Networks VNS3 overlay network between the servers to allow DoubleTick Move for Linux to operate through the IP forwarding of each cloud provider. DoubleTick for Linux will be supporting NAT and IP forwarding in an upcoming release, so the use of a VPN or other site-to-site or point-to-point configuration is required today, but will not be required in future. As mentioned earlier, both systems are running CentOS 6.7 with compatible kernels. DoubleTick Move for Linux supports several versions of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, SUSE Enterprise Linux, and Ubuntu Server. We also support their fork distributions, such as CentOS and Oracle Linux for Red Hat. Complete details on the distributions and versions currently supported can be found in the user guide. Both servers were installed with an OpenVPN client, configured to connect them to the overlay network through a tunnel adapter. The source device in AWS also has IOTOP installed as a demonstration application. And we'll add a new folder to the home directory to show data migration. And create a new text file so that we do have some new information written to the source device. The IOTOP application and the new text files do not yet exist on the Azure VM, and this will allow us to show you the migration not only of data, but of systems and package information. And here we have the DoubleTick console, which is used to command and control DoubleTick operations on both Windows and Linux. The console itself is a Windows application that runs on Windows 7 and higher desktops, and Windows 2003 SP2 and higher servers. Note that the console itself does not need to be left running, and can be left offline except when you're creating a job, checking its status, or performing a cutover. Most operations can also be performed via PowerShell to allow for more advanced automation. Let's begin by installing DoubleTick. This can be accomplished in two ways: direct installation from a Debian or RPM package, or push installation from the console. The target device is already installed, so let's perform a direct installation for the source machine in AWS. I've already downloaded the appropriate packages, and by switching to the correct instruction set subdirectory, I can perform an installation by identifying the file and using the RPM install command. This will take only about a minute on most machines and will not return any error messages. Once you have performed the install of the packages, you will then need to activate the DoubleTick services, accept the EULA, and of course provide a license key. If you're doing a direct install to a Linux machine, this can be performed with a single command. Notice it does tell me that I need to restart the DoubleTick service. The service is named DT and is controlled like any other daemon running on a system. It may take multiple restarts in order for the services to come up cleanly. That is because during the first restart, the services do not yet have the appropriate licensing keys, and on the second restart, we should see everything come up clean. Once the installation is complete, the server can be added to the DoubleTake console. While we're in the Manage Servers page, I'll point out that if you right-click any particular server, you can perform an installation directly from the console itself. These servers are already installed. To add a new server, supply the IP address or name of the server itself. Note that for names to work, you will need to have name resolution enabled. And the username and password of a member of the DoubleTake Administrators group. Here we're using root. And once a connection is made, you'll be able to view the name of the server, the current status of the DoubleTake daemon and activity, the version that you're running on, and any licensing and product information. To begin the actual migration process, in the console you'll go to Get Started. Then choose the appropriate application from the list. We'll be using DoubleTake Availability for today's demonstration, but the application that you choose will be determined by the licensing provided from Vision Solutions. Once you've selected your application, we're going to want to protect files and folders, an application, or an entire server. When you're going between clouds, where you have no control over the hypervisors directly, you are going to want to do a one-to-one full server migration. First, you will select your source device, and by selecting the source device and clicking Next, DoubleTake will be able to determine what options should be available to you based on the operating system and other information from that source server. We're going to want to perform a full server migration, and you'll note that the root partition, the system partition, has been selected. You would be able to include or exclude by partition on this area of the page, while using the lower area of the page to modify other replication rules that allow you to include and exclude down to the file level and by wildcard. Generally speaking, for a full server migration, the defaults will get you where you need to go. After selecting what I'll be migrating, I need to tell DoubleTake where I'll be migrating. So I'll select the target device. This will start a process where DoubleTake gathers up information regarding what job options should be available. We call this the accordion, and these sections are collapsible and expandable as necessary. In most cases, you're going to be using the defaults. However, here I'm going to change a couple of them. First, I will tell DoubleTake that during the cutover, I want the target to maintain its networking information. This is because we're migrating across subnets. Since this is a migration, I'm also going to tell it to not set up reverse protection. And if necessary, as it is here, I'll tell it to use the overlay network to perform replication and other operations. Finally, because these servers are connected via a VPN, I'm going to tell it to ignore the tunnel network interface. There's no reason to cut that one over, and so I can simply tell the system not to move it. You'll note that we do have the ability to apply compression at multiple levels, and to throttle the amount of bandwidth available to the connection. Most of these settings can be changed later on by going to the Jobs, Statistics, and Settings pages, and I'll show you how to do that when we reach that point. Before the job can actually be initiated, DoubleTake will perform a pre-flight check. We call it a validation run that will tell us if there is anything that might cause issues with the migration or cutover. Those are the yellow warnings. Or definitely will cause issues. Those would appear as red X's. There are no errors in this particular configuration, but we do have several warnings. These are designed to alert the user to potential issues with the migration or the cutover. For example, the disk sizes do not match, and my target disk is smaller than my production disk. It's okay in this scenario because there is sufficient space for me to perform the migration, even though the actual volume is smaller. Also note that the kernels do not match exactly, but I have confirmed that the two kernels are compatible, and this will not stop the migration. And finally, there are additional services running on the target that do not exist on the source. Again, in this case, we have confirmed that these services will not cause any issues. If there were errors, I would not be permitted to continue forward. They would have to be corrected and a recheck performed. Since they're only warnings, and since I have confirmed that these warnings will not interrupt migration, I can hit finish, and the job will be committed and started. We'll also move us to the Manage Jobs page. Here you can see information about all jobs that the console has been made aware of. As you can see here, I have both a job that I started earlier and the job that we'll be working through with this demonstration. Clicking on a job once will allow you to see multiple pieces of information on the status of that job in the Job Highlights panel. Double-clicking on a job will bring you to the Job Details page, where you can see settings and options. You can also edit many of the properties that we set during the job configuration and gain information on both the source and target systems. The initial mirror will allow DoubleTake to create a baseline of all packages and data from the source to the target, except that which has been excluded. During the initial mirror, changes are being replicated, and changes to packages and data will continue to replicate after the mirror is complete until such time as you initiate the cutover operation that shuts down the source and brings up the target. We'll pause here to allow the mirror to complete, and then resume when it is complete so that I can walk you through the cutover event. And now that the mirror is complete, we can perform a cutover operation. This is performed in one of two ways. The first one is to use the failover cutover button, which is located in the button bar at the top of the console. The other is to right-click the job in question and to use the same selection but on the drop-down menu. You may see some options or settings that come up during the failover and cutover dialog box. For the most part, as with many other things, the defaults are going to be the appropriate choice for a standard migration cutover. So let's initiate the process. And the first thing that we'll see is that the production device will go down and go offline. And there it goes. Now on the target device, the DoubleTake system is overwriting components of the system state and some of the metadata and packages. Once that process is complete, we're going to see the target initiate a reboot. It will shut down as the target, in this case VSI target, but it will reboot as the production machine. You can check the status of an individual failover at any time by clicking on the job itself in the console. Here we could see that the failover has been executed and we're simply waiting for this target machine to come back. Now it's gone offline. I know it's difficult to see in the recording, but it's not accepting any input. So we're going to go ahead and close this terminal window. And I'll open a new terminal window. And now that the cutover is complete, we're going to be able to access the target hardware using the source's identity and login information. So what I'll do is SSH into the target system, but you'll see me using the production system's login information. There we go. And my AWS key, as if I were logging into the Amazon system, although in this case, we're going to actually be logging into the target system. And we can confirm that by bringing up the Amazon system page. And here we can see that the original source device is indeed stopped, yet it is responding and has all of the applications installed and configured. And if I go to sudo here, I can even do iotap, exactly the same way as we did on the production machine, which is at this point completely offline. In this instance, what we've done is take a production system that was running in Amazon Web Services, and we have migrated it along with all of its packages and configuration to a target system that is running in Azure. From an end user, a middleware, and daemon or service perspective, it is the same machine with the same name and the same applications and packages installed. But from a hardware perspective, we've switched to a completely different platform. This gives you the best of both worlds. You're able to migrate while the users and production instances are online, take a short downtime window, typically of less than 20 minutes, and then have those same users and same applications resume the same workloads, even though you're now in a different hardware configuration. Once again, thanks for joining us for today's demonstration of the migration of a Linux server from Amazon Web Services to Microsoft Azure. If you have any questions, you can find out more online on our Microsoft partner site, or you can reach out via email to Vision Solutions, and we'd be happy to get you any additional information you need and answer any questions you might have.